Tiffany in Ohio. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Tiffany Mataji. Thank you so much for joining the call. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to you also, Hare Krishna.
Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Guru Maharaj and all the devotees. This is Kumudeki Dasi from Baltimore. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Kumudeki Mataji. Thank you so much for joining the call. Please accept my humble obeisances. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Amita Mataji. Dhanvat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev. This is Radha from Baltimore.
Hare Krishna, Radha Mataji, thank you so much for joining the call. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Anita Mataji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. My humble obeisances to you and all the devotees. This is Krishna Kumari Devidasi from Rami.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Kumari Mataji, thank you so much for joining the call. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai. This is Arvind Daks Das from Chicago. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Arvind Prabhuji, thank you so much for joining the call. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Anita Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai, Vrinda.
Hare Krishna, Vrinda Mataji. Thank you so much for joining the call. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Is there anyone to introduce? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Anita Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. This is Nita Gandharvika Devadasi from Texas. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Vanita Mataji. Thank you so much for joining the call. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam. All glories to Prabhupada. All glories to Guru Maharaj. All glories to Assembly. This is Mohini Lakshmi from Detroit.
Hare Krishna, Mohini Mataji. Thank you so much for joining. Please accept my all glories to Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavachpanam. Please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. This is Vardhana from Atlanta, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Vardhana Mataji. Thank you so much for joining the call. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru and Gauranga. This is Yashomati from Chicago.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much for joining the call. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Mataji, we start.
Hare Krishna, we can. Yeah. Okay. Okay, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna to all the assembled devotees on the call. So I once again welcome you all to the Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. So now we will be moving on to our next session, that is Srimad Bhagavatam, which will be given by His Grace Balram Shakti Prabhuji from Canto 5, Chapter 10 and Text 5. So before I give the call to
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Yeah. Hare Krishna Mataji, no introduction?
Yeah.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Yeah, yeah. We can.
Okay. Okay, Mataji. Hare Krishna. So, Hare Krishna. So, I welcome you all to the Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. And now we'll be moving on to the next session, Srimad Bhagavatam, which will be given by Balram Shakti Prabhuji. That is Canto 5, Chapter 10 and Text 5. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for joining the call and giving your valuable time and association to discuss on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam and to enlighten us on the same. Thank you, Prabhuji. Over to you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you all very much for joining today's session.
నమోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్టాయ భూతలేయ శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామిని నమస్తే సారస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణే జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శివాసాది గౌరభక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ. సో వి విల్ స్టార్ట్ టుడేస్ సెషన్. సో వి ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు డిస్కస్ టుడే ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం 5th canto 10th chapter 5th verse, which is going to discuss about the conversation between Jadabharat and Rahuguna. So actually this conversation spans over many chapters, almost close to five chapters, five or four chapters. This conversation spans, a very long conversation, but of course the chapters are a little small, but it's a long section. This is the first section, the first chapter in which this conversation is going to start. So we will read the verse, read the translation and purport, and then we will see what we can discuss from this this verse. Okay, so this is a prose verse, I will read it. Samsargiko dosha eva noonam ekasyapi sarvesham samsarvikanam bhavitum arhati iti nischitya nishamya kripanavacho raja rahuguna upasita vriddopi నిసర్గేణ బలాత్ కృత ఈషద్ ఉత్తిత మన్యుర్ అవిస్పష్ట బ్రహ్మతేజసం జాతవేదసం ఇవ రజసా ఆవృత మతిర్ ఆహ. ఓకే, సో దిస్ ద ట్రాన్స్లేషన్. కింగ్ రహుగణ కుడ్ అండర్స్టాండ్ ద స్పీచెస్ గివన్ బై ద క్యారియర్స్ హూ వర్ అఫ్రేడ్ ఆఫ్ బీయింగ్ పనిష్డ్. హీ కుడ్ ఆల్సో అండర్స్టాండ్ that simply due to the fault of one person, the palanquin was not being carried properly. Knowing this perfectly well and hearing their appeal, he became a little angry, although he was very advanced in political science and was very experienced. His anger arose due to his inborn nature as a king. Actually, King Rahugana's mind was covered by the mode of passion, and he therefore spoke as follows to Jadabharata, whose Brahman effulgence was not clearly visible, being covered like a fire covered by ashes. So, purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, the distinction between Rajoguna and Sattvaguna is explained in this verse. Although the king was very upright and advanced in political science and governmental management, he was nonetheless in the mode of passion, and therefore due to a slight agitation he became angry. So there was some little passion shown, right? Jadabharat, despite all kinds of injustice endured because of his deaf and dumb display, remained silent by the strength of his spiritual advancement. So Jadabharat did not respond. Nonetheless, his Brahma Tejas, his Brahman effulgence, was indistinctly visible in his person. So this is the purport. So I was just wondering what theme we could discuss from this particular purport. Well, I could honestly speaking, I could not come up with, I was a little bit busy. I could not really, in one sense, think about something. So I thought this is quite a good chapter. Last many classes that I have been taking, I have been speaking on various themes. So today I thought I will not speak on any theme. today I just decided that I will speak on I will give an overview of this chapter. So just for a change, because last many weeks we have been discussing on various themes about the life of Bharat Maharaj. Based on the life of Bharat Maharaj, we have been discussing on various themes. So I decided, okay, this time let us just do a simple overview of the chapter and see how it goes. So hope this is okay. So this chapter is titled The Discussion Between Jada Bharat and Maharaj Rahuguna. So Sheila, and so I'll do an overview and we will see some insights from Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Some critical insights which are needed for the development, for understanding the depth of the story. We will read some insights from Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So that's what we will do. So here, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur introduces this chapter to us. He says, the 10th chapter describes how King Rahuguna, understanding that the foul words he used to describe the carrier of the palanquin were not suitable for a great sage, got down from the palanquin and praised Bharata. So now very soon, King Rahuguna is going to criticize Jada Bharata, not understanding who he was. Because he was so covered up and his Brahma Tejas was really covered. Because he really did not act like a Brahmana. In fact, he kept himself so unclean that it is mentioned that his Brahmin thread was so soiled that it merged with the color of the body, and Rahuguna actually could not see his Brahmin thread also. So Rahuguna really was in one sense not at fault, because he could not really see who Jada Bharat was actually. He could not understand his real glories. He could not even see that he was a Brahmana. From his appearance, more or less it looked like he was probably an ordinary Shudra. Right? So, Bharata gave mercy to his brothers and neighbors who maintained him with rice and oil cakes, even though they were materialists filled with Rajoguna, by letting them see his form for a considerable period of time. So, actually Jada Bharat was equal to all. It's not that Jada Bharat showed some special mercy only to King Rahuguna. Actually, Jada Bharat was compassionately disposed towards all living entities, including the relatives who were ill-treating him. They saw that, what is the point in, anyway, he is like a madman. He cannot understand what is good food, what is bad food. Let us just give him some cow fodder or, oil cakes, which are generally eaten by cows. So they were actually, they wanted to, barely maintain him and get some work done from him. It was more of a utilitarian mood that they had, spend less and extract more, that kind of an attitude, which is generally seen, which is generally a product of mode of passion, Rajoguna, profit mentality. So actually it is mentioned that Jada Bharat was compassionately disposed towards them also. And then but then how did he show his compassion? So one has to show compassion in a way they can understand and relate to also, right? So for these kind of people, Jada Bharat understood that if I give them some kind of good teachings, it will not be accepted properly, right? As the 9th offense to the holy name is instructing a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. So he did not want to commit that offense. So he showed his mercy to them by allowing them to see his form. Okay, because he was a great Paramahamsa Vaishnava, darshane pavitra koro e tomara gun. Just by having darshan of a great soul like Jada Bharat was in itself capable of purifying the person. So therefore, he allowed to such people who are filled with rajogun, he allowed them to take darshan of his body. Okay, and the next set of people whom he showed mercy to were the thieves, were the jungle thieves who caught hold of him, and they were trying to offer him in sacrifice to goddess Kali, right? So it is mentioned that these people were deep in tamoguna, but a pure devotee of the Lord, he shows ahaituki kripa. His kripa is not dependent on someone possessing sattvaguna, rajoguna or tamoguna. He is compassionately disposed towards everyone. But the way in which the compassion is shown to people is, it has to be shown in a way they can appreciate and actually get benefit out of it, right? So he gave mercy to the leader of the thieves, even though they were in deep tamoguna. How? So they were attached to sinful activities, and they had beaten Bharat Maharaj, Jada Bharat actually, and they were almost going to kill him. So how did Bharat Maharaj help them? He arranged for the thieves' liberation in the next life because he saw himself and goddess Kali directly. Till then they had seen only the deity of Mother Kali, but he facilitated those thieves to be killed by the hands of that goddess. So they saw the personal form of goddess Kali, and not only that, they were personally killed by goddess Kali, which is not a benediction generally such people deserve also actually. So basically Jada Bharat was showing them mercy. And when he saw King Rahuguna, he gave mercy to King Rahuguna, who was in Sattvaguna. So he understood that here is a person who is in Sattvaguna. And being a jnani, even though the king made him carry the palanquin through a manifestation of Rajogun suitable to the position of a king. So as a king, he had to show some Rajoguna and show anger and correct people under him. So that was his job. That was his job description. He had to do it. So the king did it. So otherwise King Rahuguna was mostly in mode of goodness only. He was not in mode of passion or ignorance. So he was predominantly in mode of goodness, and through the bodily features, and Jada Bharat could clearly see that here is a person in mode of goodness. So I can show him mercy in a way that he can appreciate and accept, which was through giving him proper teachings about what is true knowledge and what is bhakti. So he decided that I will show compassion in a way that he can understand and appreciate. Because the king did not show rajas or tamas and show sattva, Bharata revealed bhakti and jnana to the king. So that's what he is going to reveal now, right? Of course, this, as I mentioned, this spans over 5 chapters, and we are in the first chapter of this. He did not reveal this to his brothers or the thieves, because they were in Rajogun and Tamogun, and they would not have appreciated it. The story begins in order to reveal this. It should be explained that even though a Paramahamsa, one should see everything equally, mercy manifests once being a great devotee. So as a Paramahamsa, even though it is mentioned that Sarva Bhuteshu Yappashyet Bhagavad Bhavam Atmanah Bhutani Bhagavati Atmani Esha Bhagavatottamaha. It is mentioned that an Uttama Bhagavat actually sees everyone to possess prema, then how is it that here Jadabharat, who even though he was a Paramahamsa, how is he not seeing Rahuguna to possess prema, and rather actually he is instructing him on knowledge? So it is mentioned that sometimes Uttamadhikaris, they come down to the level of Madhyamadhikaris for the purpose of preaching. So this is how it is mentioned that here Jadabharat actually stepped down in order to give some teachings to King Rahuguna. Right? Some say the story is told to explain how, by the mercy of the Lord, Bharata's own bhakti, jnana and vairagya were multiplied 100 times. So, some other acharyas, they indicate that this story about Jadabharat instructing Rahuguna is there in Bhagavatam just to show that Jadabharat took off from where he left as Bharat Maharaj. Because as a deer, even though he was standing in Pulaha Ashram and hearing Krishna Katha, but one who sees a deer, he will be wondering, oh, what is the deer doing here? Maybe the sages will feed some prasadam. It's waiting for that. Like that people may think. So, and if Jadabharat remained as a deaf and dumb-like person, then others will not understand that he was a very exalted person. So just to show that Jadabharat left off, he picked up from where he left off as Bharat Maharaj. All his spiritual credits were intact. His spiritual advancement was intact. In order to show this point, actually this whole episode of 5 chapters discussing the conversation between Jadabharat and Rahuguna is described in detail in Bhagavatam for this purpose. This point is made by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, quoting some other people feel like this, like that. Some other acharyas, this is their opinion. Okay, so now this is like an introduction to this chapter as given by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. So now let's start this chapter from the first verse onwards. So first, the first section, the first 7 verses, Rahuguna is going to chastise Jadabharata. So Rahuguna is going to chastise Jadabharat. So we will read the verse and see the translation. Shri Shuka Uvacha, Shukadeva Goswami is narrating this story. Ata Sindhu Savirapate Rahuganasya Vrajata Ikshumatyas Tate Tatkulapatina Shibika Vaha Purusha Anveshana Samaye Daivena Upasaditaha Sa Dvijavara Upalabda Esha Piva Yuva Samhananango Go Karavad Duram Vodum Alam Ita Iti Purva Vishti Grihitaihi Saha Grihitaha Prasabam Atad Arha Uvaha Shibikam Sa Mahanubhavaha. So he says that Sindhu Savirapate, so Rahuguna was the king of the Sindhu and Savira province in India. There is a part called Sindhu and Savira. He was the king of Sindhu and Savira province. Vrajata Ikshumatyastate, and when he was carried by palanquin bearers on a palanquin on the banks of Ikshumati river. Tat kulapatina shibikavaha purusha anveshana samaye, and at that time maybe one of the palanquin bearers became sick, or they were not ready to carry the palanquin. They were indisposed. And at that point of time, he was searching for a fourth palanquin carrier. Daivena upasaditaha sadvijavaraha upalabda. At that time, by, by chance, they came across Jadabharat, who was standing there. Samhanana Ango Gokaravad Esha Piva Yuva Samhanana Ango Gokaravad. So it is mentioned that he was very well nourished. he was young and he was very strong like an animal. Dhuram vodum alam iti prasabam grihitaha. So they thought that he must be a good person to carry the palanquin. So they forcefully caught hold of him and engaged him in carrying the palanquin. It's not that he volunteered. It's not that they promised that they will pay him something. It's not even that they asked him for his opinion. They just caught hold of him and they engaged him in that service. Okay. Mahanubhavaha saha purva vishti grihitaihi. So along with other carriers, they engaged him in carrying the palanquin. Saha atad arha shibikamuvaha. Even though he was such a great personality, you know, it was not the role of a great devotee from a transcendental point of view, a brahmana from a very from the point of view of being from the ordinary material point of view was a brahmana, and from the transcendental point of view he was a very exalted pure devotee. So from either point of view, it was not appropriate for him to carry the palanquin, but they caught hold of him and they engaged him. Okay, so yadahi dvijavarasya ishumatra avalokana anugater na samahita purushagatis tada vishamagatam swashibikam rahugana upadarya purushan adivahata aha he vodara sadhu atikramata kimiti vishamam uhyate yanam iti. So he says yada purushagatihi na samahita, when the king observed that the palanquin was not properly, it was not smoothly progressing, it was shaking here and there. He understood that the problem is with the palanquin bearers. Dvijavarasya anugatehe. Why was the palanquin shaking? Because of the way in which Bharat Maharaj was moving. Why? How was he moving? Ishu matra avaloka. Ishu means an arrow. Ishu matra avaloka means he would just look 3 feet and carefully observe if there are any ants or insects. And when there are no ants or insects, then he would jump 3 feet and then again stop. And then he would look 3 feet. And when there are no ants or insects, he would jump 3 feet like that. So if the other 3 palanquin bearers are properly walking, and if one person is jumping like this, definitely it's going to disturb the person who is sitting inside the palanquin. And the person who is sitting inside the palanquin is none other than the king. So he understood that you know, there is something wrong with these palanquin bearers. So he said, hey Vodara, sadhu atikramata, kim vishamam muhyate yanam iti. Hey Vodara, hey palanquin carriers, sadhu atikramata, can't you walk properly? Kim vishamam muhyate yanam? Why is the palanquin moving unevenly? Can't you do this simple job properly? Like that. So, so the palanquin bearers, when they heard this, ata ta ishvara vachaha sa upalambam upakarnya upaya turiya shankita manasas tam vigyapayam babuvuhu. Ata ishvara sa upalambam vachaha upakarnya. So hearing this chastising words by the king, te, the palanquin bearers, turiya shankita manasa, they thought that the next time this happens, the king will not speak, he will directly punish. Turiyat means the fourth response, like sama, dana, beda, danda. There are 4 means of convincing people to accept your opinion or what you want them to do. Sama is by speaking pleasing words. Dana means to give some gifts or some you know, things to attract them. Beda means by threatening them, and danda means by punishing them. So directly they saw that because he was the king, he did not engage in sama or dana, in pleasing words or actually giving them gifts. he directly went to the third stage. You know, he threatened them. So they thought that next time it happens, there is no more speech, he is going to punish us. So before, and they had no trust in Jada Bharat because they understood that he was like a madman. So they thought that, you know, this person is not going to understand this threatening. So if we continue to, and we don't have a fourth person. So if we continue to carry, you know, he is going to drown all of us. So better we communicate to the king right now. So they told him, they spoke to the king that Na vayam naradeva pramatta bhavan niyama anupataha sadhu eva vahamaha ayam aduna eva niyuktopi na drutam vrajati na anena saha vodum uha vayam parayama iti. So they say, O Naradeva, O king, na vayam pramatta, actually you are criticizing us. We want to inform you, O king, that we are not inattentive. We are trying to carry your palanquin very attentively. Bhavan niyama anupataha. Bhavad niyama anupataha. So, according to your instructions, we are properly carrying the palanquin, my dear Lord. Sadhuyeva vahamaha. We are carrying it properly. Ayam. But this person, adunayeva niyuktopi. Even though we have been carrying for so many miles, but this person, we have just engaged him in carrying the palanquin. It's not that he has been carrying for a long time. We have just engaged him. Na drutam rajati. Even though we have engaged him just now, it's not that he has become tired because of carrying the palanquin for a long time. If we must have become tired, but this person, even though we just engaged him, he is walking so slow. Na vayam vodum uha parayama anena saha. So therefore, I don't think we can carry the palanquin along with him. So kindly excuse us. We will try to find another palanquin bearer. Or we are telling you, or if you want us to carry the palanquin along with this person only, then we cannot take responsibility because he is not cooperating. Right? So, then this verse comes, the verse of today. So, the king was thinking, Samsargiko dosha eva nunam ekasyapi sarvesham samsargikanam bhavitum arhati iti nischitya nishamya kripana vacho raja rahugana upasita vriddopi nisargena balat krita ishad uttita manyuhu avispashta brahma tejasam jata vedasam iva rajasa avritta matir aha. Nishamya kripana vachaha. Hearing these words of the poor servants, iti nischitya. The king came to this conclusion. What did he think? Yekasyapi eva doshaha sarvesham samsargikanam bhavitum arhati. When a particular activity is being carried out as a team, when each one has his particular role chalked out, even if one person is not performing his role, then the whole team suffers. So Rahuguna understood that to carry a palanquin, four people have to act in a very synchronous way. But if even one person is non-cooperative, the whole team suffers. So he understands. Ekasyapi eva doshaha sarvesham samsargikanam bhavitum arhati. Samsargiko, because of, due to intimate association, you know, the whole team suffers because of the mistake of one person. Raja rahugana ishad uttita manyuhu. The king Rahuguna became little angry. Nisargena, because of his nature. He naturally had some rajogun. Even though sattvagun was prominent, but there was some rajogun. And it is mentioned that rajasattvam tamascheva tamasattvam rajastada. There is always a constant competition between the modes. It's not that always someone can constantly be in Sattvaguna, or constantly be in Rajoguna, or constantly be in Tamoguna. There are times when one of the modes become more prominent and the other mode becomes little less prominent, like that. So because of his nature, Balat Krita, he fell under the influence of Rajogun. Even though he was not a completely Rajoguni person, but the situation was such that the Rajogun became activated. But it is mentioned very clearly by Srila Vishnu Jagat Thakur that he was predominantly in mode of goodness only. Right? So even people who are generally very calm, sometimes they can become very angry. You must have experienced that. So Rahuguna was like that he became a little angry. Upasita Vriddhopi, even though he had received knowledge from the sages about proper conduct. So, but still, even though this was not the way you could speak with a Brahmana, but actually Rahuguna could not identify Jadabharata as a Brahmana or an elevated personality. So Rajasa Avrita Matihi, temporarily his mind became covered by passion, aha. And in that passionate mood, he spoke to Jadabharat, Avispashta Brahma Tejasam. So Avispashta means unclear or covered. It was not at all clear. So his Brahma Tejas or his Brahmanical effulgence was covered. Jata Vedasam Iva. Just like fire is covered by ashes. So you put your hand inside the ashes, suddenly you burn your hands because there are some pieces of coal or whatever wood in which fire is still there, but the ashes have covered that piece of wood in which fire is still active. So in the same way, it was not a complete mistake of Rahuguna, because he could not identify who he was. And as a king, the way he acted was perfectly appropriate. He was not at fault, really. So, okay. So now, Rahuguna is going to speak. He says, Aho kashtam. So this is all spoken in great sarcasm. Right? So sometimes, if you directly criticize or chastise a person, it is not as hurting as if you might sarcastically speak with him. Sarcasm is a very sharp weapon, verbal weapon. It's one of the sharpest verbal weapons if you want to really hurt someone, right? So he says, Aho kashtam brother. Brother means, oh brother. First thing, that also is actually sarcasm. Aho kashtam. Aho vyaktam kashtam. I can clearly see that you are struggling. It is very difficult. I have given you a very difficult job to do. Uru parishrantah. I see that you are very tired, which was not true. Definitely from the body language of Bharat Maharaj or Jadabharat, it was definitely not true that he was looking tired. Dirgam advanam, and you have traveled such a long path. Suchiram ekayeva uhivan, and actually you have alone been carrying this palanquin for such a long distance. So this is clearly very, very hurting sarcasm, which was not true, because no one person can lift the palanquin. You need four people minimum to lift the palanquin. So he was telling, oh, you have alone been lifting the palanquin, and that too for such a long time. And then he says, Na ati piva, and I can clearly see that you are not very healthy. Na samhanana ango, and I can clearly see that you do not have very strong limbs, you are very weak. Even though while describing Jadabharat, it was very clearly mentioned, he had gho karavat. He had like such a well-built body, which was like a very sturdy animal, right? And Jarasacha Upadruto Bhavan. Jarasa means old age. And I see that you are really afflicted by old age. Even though in one of the previous verses, the description said that Yuva, he was very young. So this is all spoken in sarcasm. Oh, you are carrying alone. You must be very tired. You have traveled a long path. And I see that you are not very healthy. And you do not have very strong limbs. And you are afflicted by old age. So he says, oh, Sakhe, my dear friend. Actually, you know what? That is all not the real problem. The real problem is, na eva apara ete sanghatina. Actually, these other workers, these other palanquin bearers, they are not cooperating with you. That is the problem. So, like this, iti bahu vipralabdopi. Even though he was abused in this way, in such a severe way, tushnim shibikam purvavad eva uvaha. It is mentioned, even after being criticized and chastised in this way, Jadabharat quietly carried the palanquin in the exact same way in which he was carrying before. He would look at 3 feet and see if there are any insects or ants, and he would start jumping. So now he was the king. The king had the capacity to even kill. It was not inappropriate for the king to or at least give a very severe punishment, because at least the king gave him an opportunity to correct himself, but he was not willing to correct himself. So the king can actually punish him, but still, purvavad uvaha, he carried the palanquin as before. Why? Brahmabhutaha, because he was situated in Brahmabhuta stage. Brahmabhuta prasannatma na shochati na kangshati. Samas sarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. Right? So he was in a self-realized stage. Anadhyaropita mitya pratyayaha. And he was not covered by false conception of I and mine. In his final body, swa charama kalevare. So this can be split in many ways. So the verse itself says, swa charama kalevare. Right? Kalevare is body. Swa, one's own. Charama, last body. And what is that body? Dravya guna karma ashaya. So he did not have any identification with that last body that he was possessing, which was made of gross elements, senses, karma and antakarana. Dravya guna karma ashaya. Okay. Produced by maya. So these are like, there are multiple meanings. Avidyaya rachita. You see, this can be taken as avidyaya rachita. Right? So it can be split as avidyaya rachita or avidyaya arachita. Both are correct. So if it is avidyaya rachita, it means it is produced of maya. And if it is split as avidyaya arachita, then it means it is not made of maya. It is a transcendental body. Okay. So Srila Shukadeva Goswami, by giving this presentation, he is presenting a superficial meaning and a more deep-rooted meaning. We are going to see that. A body which was vastuni. So it can be taken as avastuni also. You see, avastuni means which is not very substantial, which is made of matter, which is very temporary. Samsthana visheshe, belonging to Vaikuntha. This is one meaning. Another meaning is belonging to this material world, like that. So it is mentioned the king addressed him as brother with sarcasm. Okay. By taking the opposite meaning of the words, the king criticized Bharata. So, even though he says, oh, you are very young, you are very old, He says, which means, which he's actually indicating, you are young. Why can't you carry? I see that you are very tired. The real meaning is, hey, you don't even seem tired. What's the problem carrying? So, and then he was telling, oh, you are carrying properly. Only these other people are not cooperating with you. The real meaning is, why can't you cooperate with others when other three are able to cooperate with each other? Why are you not cooperating with them? And then he was asking, oh, you have alone been carrying me for such a long distance. He said, the real meaning is, hey, you are not alone carrying me. There are three others carrying you. If the whole palanquin had to be carried by only you, then it would be so difficult. But if three other well-built people are carrying with you, then what problem you should have? You should be moving properly, right? He says, you are not tired because you have just started carrying the palanquin. He said, oh, you have been carrying this palanquin for a long time, which was not true. You are well nourished with strong limbs and you are young. This is what he meant, but he spoke in a sarcastic way using the opposite words. So, you can't even say that the other people are not cooperating with you because it is quite clear that you are not cooperating with them. So, even though he was abusing him in this way, sarcastically criticizing him in this way, he remained silent. Why did he remain silent? Because it is mentioned, he was not covered with a false conception of I and mine. Should be. I and mine in his final body made of the five gross elements. The senses, pious and sinful results, and the antakarana, which was insubstantial since he had no relationship with this, though it was real. So this is one understanding. This is the superficial understanding. The superficial understanding is that it was just a material body, and because Jadabharat was fully self-realized, he did not identify with that body. Okay. And also because the body was just material body. So, and because he was ready for liberation, that's why it is mentioned Swacharama Kalevare. It was his last body. So therefore, he did not identify with that body. Because the body was insubstantial, being made of matter. So why would a self-realized soul identify with the material body, which is made of matter? So he was not identifying with it. And he was like that. So, he had attained the Brahma Bhuta stage. Right? So, actually, so this is the superficial understanding. But the deeper understanding has to be searched for in the inner meaning of the words that Srila Shukadeva Goswami has used. The deeper meaning is as follows. Actually, Bharat Maharaj, like Shukadev, had a spiritual body which was not destructible. It was eternal. Okay. So, therefore, the word actually used this avastuni, but it can be taken as vastuni also, which is real and eternal. Right. Because of the arousal of prema at this time, he actually did not have possessiveness of anything except the Lord. Why did he not identify with the body? Why did he not have possessiveness with the body? Because one has, at the stage of prema, one has possessiveness only of Krishna. That is why Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says, Atishaya mamatvankitaha. The nature of prema, it is mentioned. Prema, one of the very strong symptoms of prema is this atishaya mamatva, an intense sense of identification with Krishna. You know, possessiveness of Krishna, intense possessiveness of Krishna. Oh, Krishna is mine, like that. So they don't think of body being theirs. They have possessiveness only of Krishna, right? Like that. Okay. Because of this, Bharat Maharaj, because of humility, it is mentioned, Bharat Maharaj made a show of having a material body, even though he was full of knowledge, because that is the nature of prema. So one of the 9 reliable symptoms of bhava and prema is actually mana shunyata, a complete sense of humility. So Bharat Maharaj was thinking, oh, I still have a material body like that. Even though his body was not material, it was spiritual and eternal. Therefore, Shukadev Goswami also describes him as if he had a material body, if one takes the superficial meaning of the words. So one understanding is Bharat Maharaj, or Jada Bharat, had attained self-realization. Therefore, he did not identify with body, with his material body. This is the superficial understanding. But the real understanding is that Jada Bharata, he was a perfected devotee. With a spiritual body. Okay. He did not identify with the body. Because he was absorbed in Krishna Prema. Okay, that is the real understanding. But it is that real understanding does not come very obviously, because Shukadeva Goswami wants to sort of hide it, right? The last phrase appears to mean in his final body made of gross elements, senses, karma, antakarana, etc., produced by Maya, which was unsubstantial even though having a particular appearance. Okay. So in his final body, Sva Charama Kalevare. So Sva Charama Kalevare means one's final body. This is one understanding. But this can be split as Su Acharama Kalevare. Su means spiritual. Acharama means non-material. Kalevare means body. This can be taken in this way. In his final body, can be if you take this understanding, in a spiritual non-material body made of gross elements, senses, karma and antakarana, dravya guna what is it, dravya guna karma ashaya avidyaya rachita, which is made of maya. But avidyaya rachita can be taken as avidyaya arachita, not made of maya. Like that, you know, it gives for an alternative understanding also. However, it should be explained that his real opinion is that Bharat Maharaj had a spiritual body. Thus, the phrase avidyaya rachita dravya guna karma ashaya sva charama kalevare actually means in his eternal body, that remained after all previous bodies had been destroyed, which was not made of material elements, senses, karma and antakarana. So the exact opposite meaning comes if you change the sandhi. If the sandhi is changed, it gives the exact opposite meaning. Like that. Anyway, so then what happens? So he has criticized Jadabharat like this. Atha, but still Jadabharat continued to carry the palanquin in the same way. Atha punaha swashibikayam vishamagatayam prakupita uvacha rahuganah kimidam aretvam jivan mruto mam kadarti kritya bhartur shasanam aticharasi pramattascha chate karomi chikitsam dandapane iva janataya yata prakritim swam badishyasya iti. He says thereafter rahuganah swashibikayam vishamagatayam. Then even after criticizing Jadabharat like this, he again, Rahuguna, realized that the palanquin was moving improperly. Prakupita uvacha. He became very angry and he said, Are Twam Kimidam. O fool, what are you doing? Jivan mritaha. Are you living dead person? Are you dead despite life within your body? Why are you acting like a dead person? Can't you understand what I am telling you? Mam kadarti kritya bhartri shasanamati charasi. By disregarding me, you are not carrying out my order. Pramattasya chate karomi chikitsam. I have a proper remedy for your inattention. What I am going to do, you see. Yata dandapanir janataya iva. Just as Yamaraj punishes the people in general. Prakritim swam bhajishyaseti. So that you will come back to your proper consciousness. You will come back to your senses. I am going to punish you in such a way that you will realize your mistake immediately. Like that he threatens. And he was actually going to punish Jadabharat. So to summarize this section. So, Shukadeva Goswami started narrating this story to Parikshit Maharaj. He said, Rahugana was traveling on the banks of the Ikshumati River and the leader of the palanquin was searching for an extra bearer, palanquin bearer. By the will of Providence, well-built and exalted Jadabharat appeared there. Then the leader of that palanquin bearers, he thought that Jadabharat was appropriate for the job and he forcibly engaged him to carry the palanquin. So Jadabharat being compassionate to the ants, he moved erratically. Then Rahuguna became angered. He spoke to the carriers. Hey, carriers, walk correctly. Why is this palanquin moving erratically? The carriers became afraid. He has already started chastising us. Next will be direct punishment. So they spoke to Rahuguna as follows. Oh, we are carrying properly, but the problem is with this new man. So Rahuguna understood that because of in a teamwork, if one person does not perform properly, the whole team suffers. So therefore, he spoke with anger and sarcasm to Jadabharat. He said, oh, you are very tired. You have traveled a long path and you have been carrying for a long time alone. You are not healthy. You are not strong. You are too old. In fact, it is the other workers who are not cooperating with you like that. In spite of being taunted in this way, Jadabharat, the pure devotee, continued to carry the palanquin as before. But when the palanquin shook again, Rahuguna became extremely angry and he spoke thus, Are you dead? How could you disregard my order? I am going to punish you. Like that he was threatened Jadabharat. Okay. So, what happened then? Jadabharat is now going to reply to Rahuguna. Probably for the first time, anyone is going to hear Jadabharat speak. So Jadabharat is going to say, what does he say? Let's see. He says, Evam bahu abaddam api bhashamanam naradeva abhimanam rajasa tamasa anuviddena madena tiraskrita ashesha bhagavat priyaniketam pandita maninam Sa Bhagavan Brahmano Brahma Bhuta Sarva Bhuta Suhrid Atma Yogeshwara Charyayam Na Ati Vyutpanna Matim Smayamana Iva Vigata Smaya Idam Aha. Evam Bahu Abaddam Api Bhashamanam. Even though after being criticized by the king in such a severe way, and it was inappropriate to speak to Jadabharat like that, why did he speak? Naradeva Abhimanam. He was thinking himself to be a great king. Panditamaninam. And he thought himself to be very, very learned person. Tiraskrita Ashesha Bhagavat Priyaniketam. And in this way, he had criticized a very dear devotee of the Lord. Rajasa Tamasa Anuviddena Madena. Because of pride, which was born out of passion and ignorance, he spoke like this, in this incoherently, to this devotee who was very dear to Krishna. Sa Bhagavan Brahmana. This powerful Brahmana, Jadabharat, smayamana iva, with a slight smile, vigata smaya, but without any pride. Okay, that's smaya means smile, smaya means pride also. So the same words are used for indicating smile and pride. Vigata smaya means without pride. Smayamana iva means with a slight smile. Idam aha, he spoke to Rahugana. Yogeshwara charyayam na ati vyutpanna matim. Who did not really know how to identify a pure devotee through his symptoms. He did not know that. Sarvabhuta suhrid atma. So that Jadabharat, who was a friend of all, Brahmabhuta, who was situated in Brahman, which means he was situated in Krishna. That's what it means. So he did not know. He spoke incoherently to the king. King spoke incoherently to Jadabharat, but still Jadabharat smilingly spoke back to Rahugana. Okay. So, Brahmana Uvacha. Tvayoditam vyaktam avipralabdam. Tvaya uditam, what you have spoken. Vyaktam avipralabdam. My dear Rahugana, I don't consider that you have spoken sarcastically. I think you have spoken very genuine words. Bartus samesyat yadi veera bharaha. He says, only if the burden of the carrier belonged to me. See, if the burden of the palanquin, if I was holding the burden of the palanquin, then what you say is right. Then I would have become tired. But I am not carrying the palanquin because I am not identifying with this body. Right? Gantur yadisyad adigamya madva. You told that I had walked a long distance. Okay? If the destination and the path of the traveler belong to me, only then your statements would be sarcasm. If I had identified with my body, and as while identifying with my body, in reality, I had not walked a long distance, and I had not carried the palanquin also for a long distance for me to feel the burden. So, your statements would be considered as sarcasm to a person who identified with his body, but in reality, I don't identify with my body. So, I don't think that your words are, I don't consider your words to be sarcasm. But, you know what? You told that I am not very well nourished, or I am well nourished. Actually, learned people do not speak like this. Because that is, you are speaking in terms of body. Don't you know that we are not this body, but we are spirit souls? I don't identify with my body. So, what are you talking about? Healthy, not healthy, weak, tired, fatigued and all this. Learned people don't speak like this, Rahugana. So, it is mentioned that Jadabharat was thinking, I will show mercy to this person who thinks that he has knowledge by defeating him with knowledge. So, Jadabharat is thinking, he is thinking that he is very knowledgeable. I will defeat him with that same knowledge. So therefore, he is speaking in this way. So he says that you have said that I am not tired and I have not come a long way. This is not incorrect. It is not sarcasm. It is true. I am not tired because the soul does not become tired. And I have not come a long way. So if only I had identified with my body, then what you have spoken would be considered as sarcasm. Like that he says. Since I am different from my body, I am not the carrier. Like that. And calling me well nourished belongs to the body of the living entities. It is not the talk of persons in knowledge. Oh, this is like Krishna telling Arjuna, Kutastva, what is it? He mentions that Pragya Vadamscha Bhashase, Gatasun Agatasumscha Nanushochanti Pandita. So he says that, my dear Arjuna, you are talking like a very learned person, but the first lesson is that a learned person does not lament for the body or the soul. So what are you lamenting for? So similarly, he says, you are talking like a very learned person, Rahuguna. Don't you know this basic teaching that we are not this body, we are soul? So he says, then, sthaulyam, karshyam, vyadaya, adayascha, kshutrid, bayam, kalir, iccha, jaracha, nidra, ratir, manyur, aham, madashucho, dehena jatasya, hi, mena santi. You know, all these terminologies that you are using, like strength, I am a very strong person, or I am not very strong, I am very thin, I am very sick, I am filled with anxiety, hunger, thirst, fear, all these things, they belong to a person with body. Which means, they belong to a person with body means, they belong to a person who identifies with his body. Okay? They belong to a person who has bodily identification. Mena santi, they do not exist for me. Because I don't identify with the body. Okay? Then he says, Jeevan mritatvam niyamena rajan adyantavad yad vikritasya drishtam swaswamya bhavo dhruva idya yatra tarhyuchyate sau vidikritya yogah. So, then the king had told, are you living dead? I am living but dead. He says, Jeevan mritatvam niyamena rajan. He said, my dear king, this is the nature of material world. Every body is dead only. So what are you talking about? Not everybody, but every body. The body of every living entity is dead. It's dead matter only. Right? So if you are calling me living dead, is your body not dead? Is your body not dead matter? In fact, Jadabharat's body was not dead matter. It was spiritual. It was made of spirit. Even though others were seeing it as matter, but in reality it was not matter. But he was still talking in a very conventional term only. He says, if my body you say is dead, then is your body alive? So this is not something that he was expecting. Rahuguna was expecting. Vikritasya drishtam yadi yad adyantavat. One sees change everywhere. Since there is a beginning and end of all things, everyone's body seems to die. Everyone's body seems to have a beginning and an end. So death seems to be common for everyone. Find in my body that you asked that if I was living but dead. Are you not the same? Is your body also not dead? I see that your body also has changed. right? While you are young, while you are a young boy, did you have the same body? That body has changed, which means it has died. Dehinosmin yata dehe kaumaram yavanam jara tata dehantara praptis dhirastatrana muyati. You know, the that is the nature of body. Antavanta ime deha nityasyoktaha sharirinaha. Every body is dead only. So it will die. So he says, O king, now Jadabharat is speaking in sarcastic words. Idya, O worshipable king, after establishing that you have spoken foolish words, now he is calling him O Idya, O worshipable king. Now he is using the same, you can say like sarcasm, right? Yatra swaswamya bhavo dhruva. And then he said, you are telling bhartru bhratru shasanam aticharasi. You have declined to follow the order of your master, because the king is supposed to be the master of his subjects. You have declined to follow the order of your master. So Jadabharat is asking, are you sure that this swaswamya bhava dhruva, are you sure that you are my eternal master and I am your eternal servant? Are you sure about that? Is this servant master relationship fixed or is it temporary? He is asking. This is a very interesting question that Jadabharat is asking, because Bharat Maharaj was the king of the whole Bharat Varsha. And Rahuguna was a very, very small king. He was just the king of the Sindhu and Sauvira province. The Sindhu and the Sauvira province was a very small province. In fact, actually in his previous life, Rahuguna was a king who was paying taxes to Bharat Maharaj, which means Bharat Maharaj was the master of Rahuguna. But now, because he had taken a different birth, Rahuguna could not identify. So this question asked by Jadabharat to Rahuguna is a very, very pertinent question. He was asking, are you sure that this Swaswami Bhava is permanent? Because it was not. Because in the just in the previous life, actually Rahuguna was a subordinate king. He was the subordinate and servant of Bharat Maharaj. So he says, Jadabharat is telling, if you say that this Swaswami Bhava, if this servant-master relationship is eternal, then tell me, I'm willing to engage in your service. Like that. So, then he continues. Vishesha buddher vivaram manakcha pashyama yanna vyavaharatonyat ka ishvaras tatra kimishitavyam tatapi rajan karavama kimte. So he says, O king, you are trying to talk in terms of conventional reality. You are talking, what you are talking is reality in a dream. This material life is like a dream. Only in a dream, you are dreaming like you are the king and I am your servant. I am trying to wake you up from this dream. Wake up. You are a spirit soul, I am a spirit soul. Both are meant to serve Krishna. Right? So, you are speaking in terms of conventional reality. I am trying to wake you up to the constitutional reality. Right? So, in the constitutional sense, we all are servants. Krishna is the only master. But if you are still convinced that you are the master and I am your servant, tatapi rajan karavama kimte, then tell me, my dear sir, how can I serve you? Tell me, what should I do? How can I serve you? This is what Jadabharat is telling King Rahuguna. Then Rahuguna had threatened Jadabharat that now I will give you such a punishment that you will come back to your senses. So he says, so in response to that, Jadabharat says, Unmatta Matta Jadavat Swasamstam Gatasya Me Veera Chikitsitena Artha Kiyan Bhavata Shikshitena Stabda Pramattasya Pishta Peshaha. So he says that, O king, Kiyan Artha, what purpose, what is the goal that you are going to attain? Chikitsitena, by giving punishment. So what is the purpose of punishment? The purpose of punishment is to help that punished person understand his mistake and rectify his mistake. Now, Jadabharat is asking, my dear king, what goal are you planning to accomplish by punishing a person who is swasamstam gatasyame, who has attained Brahman? So what are you going to attain by punishing a self-realized person? Are you trying to teach a good lesson to a self-realized person? Is that what you're trying to do? But then Rahuguna says, hey, I'm really sorry. I didn't know that you are self-realized. You just look like a madman. So then Jadabharat is asking, so what are you going to accomplish by punishing a madman? Stabda pramattasya sikshitena pishta peshaha. Pishta peshana nyaya means, pishta means atta or ground floor. Peshana means to grind it again. It has already become sufficiently powdery. If you powder what has already been powdered, you are just wasting your time. You are wasting your energy. You are wasting your resources. Right? So, if a person is already mad, and if he, what do you expect from a mad person? He will not do things properly. Even if you think that I am a mad person, by punishing a mad person, his madness will only increase. Will you accomplish something substantial? So like that, he is indicating to Rahuguna. So if you think I am a self-realized person, what are you going to accomplish by punishing a self-realized person? You should not be punishing a self-realized person. And second thing, if you think I was just a mad person, what do you accomplish by punishing a mad person? Only his madness will increase. Okay. To summarize this section of, So this has to be Rahuguna, Jadabharat chastising Rahuguna or answering Rahuguna. So Shukadeva Goswami continued, in spite of being addressed in this manner by proud Rahuguna, Jadabharat, who was a friend of all beings and who was situated in the Brahmabhuta stage, he smiled and responded without pride. So Jadabharat spoke to Rahuguna. He said, your statements can be considered to be sarcasm only if I am this body. If I am this body, then what you say is right. What you say was sarcasm. Actually, Rahuguna, intelligent people do not talk in terms of material body. You are considering yourself to be very intelligent. But how could you talk in terms of body and by identifying with body? You spoke that I am fat, thin and all those things. These things belong to a person who is born with a body and identifying with the body. But I don't identify with my body. You have called me living dead. But this is true for everyone, as everyone's body changes. Change is a characteristic of dead matter and not the soul. And you have said that I have disregarded your order. But the conditions of master and servant are not fixed. Today you are my master, and tomorrow if I get your kingdom, I will become your master. Therefore, other than convention, I do not see any reason for the distinction between master and servant. If you still think that you are the king, then please tell me what I can do for you. And then You told me that you are going to punish me. Tell me what you will accomplish by punishing me, who am Brahman realized, but acting like a bad man. And even if you don't accept that I am Brahman realized, still punishing a mad person is like pounding the powder again. You are just wasting your time. So, are you in your senses? Basically, that's what Jadabharat is asking. You told me that by punishing me, you will get me back to my senses. But I am asking you, what you are speaking and what you are trying to do, does it make sense to you? Like that. Now, after hearing this, in this last section of this chapter, Rahuguna is going to realize his mistake and he is going to beg for forgiveness and he is going to ask further questions. So Shukadeva Goswami takes us forward. Etavad anuvada paribhashaya pratyudirya munivara upashama shila uparata anatmya nimitta upabhogyena karma arabdam vyapanayan rajayanam api tata uvaha. So, etavat pratyudirya. So, Jadabharat responding to Rahuguna's criticism in this way. And what was the type of response? He exactly quoted what were the criticisms of Rahuguna and he gave a suitable reply. Anuvada paribhashaya. Bharat Maharaj, sorry, Jadabharat, karma arabdam vyapanayan, thinking that anyway, out of his humility, he was thinking that I will carry the palanquin and that way I will destroy my prarabdha karma, like that he was thinking. So, thinking in this way, with a peaceful mind, it's not that Jadabharat became disturbed because of the hurting words. He was a self-realized, perfected devotee. There is no question of false ego there. So he was not affected like that. So he was just, he started carrying the palanquin again. Okay. So, then what happened? So it is mentioned, Sachapi Pandaveya Sindhu Savira Patihi Tattva Jigyasayam Samyak Shraddaya Adikrata Adikaras Tad Hridaya Granti Mochanam Dvija Vacha Ashrutya Bahu Yoga Granta Sammatam Toraya Avaruhya Shirasa Padamulam Upasritaha Kshamapayan Vigata Nripadeva Smaya Uvacha. So, O Pandaveya, O Parikshit Maharaj, Sa Sindhu Savira Patihi, the king of the Sindhu and Savira province, Adikrita Adikaraha, having attained the qualification, Tatva Jigyasayam Samyak Shraddaya, by complete faith in the topics concerning the absolute truth. So he had attained full qualification because of the association of Jadabharat. He had attained full qualification to hear this subject matter of absolute truth. Hridaya Granti Mochanam, which is capable of tying the knot of ignorance within the heart. Twaraya Avaruhya, he immediately jumped down from the palanquin. Shirasa Padamulam Upasritaha, and he immediately paid obeisances to the lotus feet of Jadabharat and begged forgiveness. And he spoke in this way, right? Kastvam Nigudas Charasid Dvijanam Bibarshi Sutram Katamo Vadutaha Kasya Sikutratya Ihapi Kasmat Kshemaya Nascet Asinota Shuklaha. He says, who are you? Now I can see your Brahmin thread. Now I see that you are a Brahmana. And from your words also it is very clear that you are a very exalted person. Nigudas Charasi. Why you are covering your exalted position and bewildering people like us? Okay. Katamo avadutaha. What kind of renounced sage are you? Kasyasi, who is your father? Kutratya, where were you born? Ihapi, how did you come to this place? Kasma kshemaya naschet asinota shukla. Are you Lord Narayana himself who has come to benefit us? So, I'm really confused. Please remove my ignorance. And then he says, नाहं विशंके सुरराज वज्रान् त्रयक्षशूलान् यमस्य दण्डात् नाग्न्यर्कसोमा निलवित्रपास्त्रात् शंके वृषं ब्रह्मकुलावमानात्. सो ही सेज न अहम विशंके सुरराज वज्रात्. माय डियर लॉर्ड, एक्चुअली बीइंग अ किंग आई एम नॉट अफ्रेड ऑफ द थंडरबोल्ट ऑफ किंग इंद्र. इफ ही कम्स टू फाइट विथ मी यूजिंग अ थंडरबोल्ट, आई एम नॉट अफ्रेड ऑफ दैट. इन फैक्ट इवन इफ लॉर्ड शिवा कम्स टू फाइट विथ मी with a trident, I am not afraid of that. Even if Yamaraj comes with his Yamapasha, I am not afraid of death. So please don't think that I am trying to please you because I am afraid of death. I am actually not even afraid of death. Nor I am not afraid of fire, sun, moon, wind, etc. I am just afraid of offending a great Brahmana and Vaishnava like you. Shankhe Brisham Brahma Kula Avamanat. I'm very much afraid of offending great Vaishnavas and Brahmana. So therefore, I am begging for forgiveness from you. So even if they attack me with my weapons as a Kshatriya, I will fight and I will die a heroic death fighting with them. I am not afraid of death, but I am really afraid of offending great Vaishnavas and Brahmanas like you. So please don't take offense. Please understand my precarious condition. So then he says, Tad bruhi asango jadavad niguda vijnana viryo vicharasyaparah vachamsi yoga gratitani sado nanakshamante manasapi betum. Therefore, please speak. You are a completely detached person. You have completely realized knowledge. No one is superior to you. But I am not able to understand your words. Right? Then he says, therefore, I inquire from you, the master of yoga, the best gurus of sages. I want to understand the real truth from you. Therefore, please speak to me the real truth. First thing I want to know is who are you? And then I have further questions to ask you. Are you Kapila Dev, who is wandering about to examine this material world? How can a person like me who is blind to spiritual knowledge, how can I understand the movements and the opinions of great personalities like you? So please help me understand. So now he is going to ask some very, very relevant questions. So you will see in this whole conversation, actually what Rahuguna is asking is very, very logical questions. He is not a foolish person. And we will see that Rahuguna is very much he understands spiritual subject matters. But Jadabharat just wanted to say that, look, I am not interested in speaking about conventional reality. I am going to speak about constitutional reality. So you will clearly see. So I will quickly go through this last few verses. He said, my dear Jadabharat, Drishta Shrama Karmata Atmanovai Bartur Gantur Bhavatascha Anumanye Yata Asata Udyayanaddi Abhavat Samula Ishto Vyavahara Margaha. He says that, look, when I am a king, when I fight, I become fatigued. Similarly, when you carry the palanquin, you should also become fatigued. So that's what I told you, right? So this is my understanding. If by fighting or performing some activity, if I become fatigued, then in my opinion, by carrying a palanquin or doing any such physical activity, you must also be becoming fatigued. So therefore, are you telling me, my dear sir, that this conventional world is imaginary? So you are talking in terms of the soul, but the soul is carried by this body. So just like water is real, pot is insubstantial. You cannot drink pot or eat pot, but still to carry water, you need pot. You cannot reject the pot. So similarly, you cannot reject conventional reality. So you cannot say, I am not tired. So how can you not be tired? If I carry something, I become tired. You are also in the body. So if you carry something, you must also become tired, right? So why are you telling that I am not tired, tiredness, all these things is not for me? Why are you speaking as if the conventional world is false? We don't believe in Brahma Satya Jagan Mithya. This world is not Mithya. Are you meaning to indicate that the world is Mithya? Like that he says. Then he says, Rahuguna says, look, don't think that I don't understand about soul. I do understand about the difference between soul and body. Very beautiful verse. He says, Stalyagnitapat payasobitaptaha tattapatastandula garbarandihi dehendriyasvashayasannikarshat tatsamsriti purushasyanurodhat. He says, look, if you want to cook the rice, to make sweet rice, you don't put the rice on fire. You put the pot on fire. And you put the milk inside the pot. And you put the rice inside the milk. And it is the pot which comes in touch with fire. But when the pot gets heated, due to the heat of the pot, the milk becomes hot. When the milk becomes hot, the rice which is in touch with the milk, that also becomes hot and it gets cooked. Right? So, in this way, due to intimate connection, even though fire is not directly touching the rice, still the rice gets cooked due to the heat. It experiences the heat. Similarly, I understand that the soul does not undergo the threefold miseries. Right? It is only the gross body which undergoes the miseries. But because the gross body is in intimate touch with mind and the subtle body also feels the heat. And because the soul is in intimate touch with the subtle body, therefore the soul must also be feeling the heat. So therefore, what is wrong in what I say? Is there something wrong? You are talking in terms of soul, but isn't the soul in intimate touch with the subtle body? Isn't the subtle body in intimate touch with the gross body? So when the gross body is undergoing suffering, why do you think that it does not affect the soul? Very, very valid point that Rahuguna is making. But the problem is, he is thinking that Rahuguna's soul and gross body are connected through the subtle body. But Jadabharat, being a liberated person, his subtle body is destroyed. So when the gross body undergoes some problem, it does not affect the soul. He does not understand this. Nevertheless, but he has asked a very valid question. And then another valid question. He says, Shasta bigopta nrupati prajanam yakkin karo vaina pinashti pishtam swadharma mara dhanamachutasya yadi hamano vijahatya gaugam. So you said that the swaswami bhava, the position of being master and servant is not permanent. So look, how will the world run? Right now, yes, I understand that I am not your permanent master. But while in this temporary situation, if every person has to act on a temporary level, whatever temporary designation has been given to him, and the Shastras encourage it, right? The Shastras say, if a Kshatriya performs his Kshatriya duty properly, by that he purifies his heart and attains liberation. So, therefore, I am acting according to the scriptures. Why are you criticizing me? Yes, it is true that I am not your eternal master, but at least on the temporary level, I am your king and I have to perform my kingly duties as a king. And as a subject, if you are not following my order, you know, I have to punish you. So he says, but actually, eventually in the next few chapters, Jadabharat will answer these questions. He will say, look, you are the king. You are engaging me. Are you paying me? You caught hold of me. You did not even bother to find out if I belong to your province or kingdom. You are not paying any remuneration. You just caught hold of me, engaged me in your service. And now you are thinking this is, you are justifying that this is kingly duty. You are like that, he says. Then, the last two verses. So, in this way, Jadabharat, Raghuguna seeks for clarification. And he says, my dear sir, please show your merciful glance on this person. You are a great devotee. And out of my kingly pride, I offended you. So, please forgive me. And because of the great offense I have committed unto you, if Lord Shiva commits offense to great people like you, then they cannot be spared. Then how what is the scope for me to be spared? So please show your merciful glance upon me and forgive me, and please answer my questions and clarify my queries like that. So I'm sorry I had to rush. So this is just a brief overview of this chapter. So I will pause here. And if there are any quick comments, questions, discussions, maybe for a few minutes we can take. So thank you very much for your patient listening.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, it was so wonderful to get the overview of the full class, chapter. Thank you, Prabhuji, for that wonderful slides. Hare Krishna. So devotees, if you have any questions, please go ahead. Hare Krishna devotees, any questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept humble obeisances, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for the wonderful detailed class. Your classes are always so full of so many details. It's beautiful. I just had one question, and I'm thinking that it will be answered when Jadabharat gives his answers. But just one of the questions that that King Raghuguna was asking about the soul being affected by the experiences of the material body. And you made the distinction that for Jadabharat, because he was a pure devotee, his subtle body had been dissolved, basically. So for us, is the soul affected by what's happening in the material body?
Yeah, because our subtle body is not dissolved. Actually, even in case of Jadabharat, the subtle body is not dissolved in the sense, considering that he was just a liberated person. That is like we saw two levels, like the superficial thing and the deeper meaning. In reality, he was a perfected devotee. So his spiritual body was completely spiritualized, actually. His subtle body was completely spiritualized. Was spiritualized, possessing all kinds of spiritual emotions. But for an ordinary liberated soul, who has been liberated by practice of any other spiritual practices like Jnana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga, for such a liberated person, his subtle body is actually dissolved. For us, even at the sadhaka stage and at our perfected stage, our subtle body becomes progressively more spiritualized, but it will never be dissolved.
Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. The devotees, please go ahead with the questions.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Very nice. You have explained everything. Very nice class. And we love your class. I mean, my husband and me both, we love the class. So we hear. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, basically because I have just given an overview, you know, I have not left any much scope for questions. So, I mean, you don't have to force yourself to ask any questions. If you don't have, it's still okay.
Okay. Hare Krishna. So, devotees, if no further questions, we can end up the call here. So, thank you. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for your wonderful time and association and giving the class so wonderfully. I like the part of chastising Jadabharat to Rahugana and Rahugana to Jadabharat. It was so nice. Hare Krishna. So thank you, Prabhuji. So devotees, let's pay our obeisances to Prabhuji. అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ వృందికి జై. శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదకి జై. శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కి జై. శ్రీ పరమ శక్తిదాస్ ప్రభుజీకి జై.
థ్యాంక్ యూ ప్రభుజీ, వెరీ నైస్.
థ్యాంక్ యూ ప్రభుజీ, వెరీ వెరీ బ్యూటిఫుల్.
Beautifully you explain everything. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for speaking from Govardhan equivalent. We can see the background, you know. You are sitting in the lobby or something.
I am sitting in the Yajna Shala, Mataji. I mean,
yeah.